Good morning. Let's turn again to Genesis chapter 17. As we continue our reading of the Lord's Word, Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. But God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And when he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. And then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Thus reads the word of God. Genesis 17:1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. The last time we were together, we looked at the first part of this passage in terms of those characteristics of God which are holy and indisputably His. There are realities of God's nature and character that will remain His alone forever. As well, it is vitally important to reiterate that we as human beings are absolutely unable to give any full description of God, much less hope to understand with crystal clearness the definitive nature and character of God. We approach this entire subject with utmost fear, reverence, and trembling before the altogether awesome One who is beyond any human measurement or adequacy to know. What we do know is that which He opens of Himself through His Word by His very own Holy Spirit. That must always be at the forefront of our realization as we approach Him in humbleness and in contriteness and in utter subjection to His will and to His purpose. With this understanding, we are using a cursory list compiled from Scripture by the Hope for the Heart Biblical Counseling Library. And please keep in mind that there is no list or manner in which we can definitively describe the indescribable One. We are fully inadequate to do so, as even this list will reiterate. So again, with regard to the first part of this passage, I am God Almighty, we highlighted those veracities about God that are singularly His. We considered His omniscience, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His eternalness, His unchangeableness, and His unfathomableness. We considered the fact that He is self-existent and self-sufficient and infinite. He is transcendent, and He is sovereign. Each of these elements serve to make us certain in God as Creator and Savior, and that He is eternally able to complete all that is His plan and His purpose in His creation. This morning, we begin with the second part of this passage, with those aspects of God's nature that have a very direct personal influence on our lives. As the Lord so directed Abram in our reading, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." We not only see the absoluteness of the Almighty One, but we hear the admonition to Abram as well as to us with regard to how the fact of God being the Almighty One works His reality in us in a living manner. It changes who we are and how we interact with God and with others. It needs to be absolutely clear in our hearts and minds that what is before us is the manner of God's intervention in our lives in place because of Jesus Christ alone. None of this is possible apart from Jesus Christ. None of us have our abilities to perform any of this to any measure. Everything that is part of us now, by virtue of our relationship with God, is holy because we are now made members of Jesus Christ's body and are completely under His direction and His guidance as the head directs the body. First is the fact of the holiness of God. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Because God is holy, and we are now indwelled by His Holy Spirit, we need to be holy, or set apart from sin. We are no longer to live our lives after our earthly lusts and desires. We are to seek only after those things that are completely pleasing to God. This is fully an aspect of walking before God in blamelessness. This is nothing that we can practice or that we can perform to any meaningful measure of our own accord. Rather, it is the fact of who we are now in Jesus Christ as He lives His life forth from us. He makes this the reality of our lives on this earth. We are holy because He is our holiness in every form and fashion. As we live by, through, and in Him, we find His holiness daily influencing and becoming the reality of our lives. The next attribute of God that is imparted to us in Christ is righteousness. Again, as with all these realities, they are ours only in and through Jesus Christ. It is His righteousness that is made to be accounted unto us. As we gain a greater and increasing appreciation for the righteousness of God, that He is absolute good in every sense, so will we develop a greater gratitude for the goodness of life that we now have in Him. Psalms 119:137. Righteous art Thou, O Lord, and upright are Thy judgments. All that He does in our lives will be seen for the value to which it contributes further to His goodness as He works to His glory on this earth. The psalmist as well describes the next truth of God's character that is imparted into us in Jesus Christ in Psalms 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before Thee. God is just in all that He does. God is just in everything that He undertakes. As we partake of that justness, that perfect fairness of God's work in action, we begin to understand that His justice and His righteousness far exceeds what our understanding of what it means to be fair. Everything He does is right altogether, no matter how it might appear to our human understanding. We must keep in mind that we are tainted by sin. We are seeking after those elements of our old human nature which labels everything that does not serve to satisfy our cravings and our lusts as unfair and wrong. But God deals in purity of heart and spirit to the nth degree. All that He does is right and just. And that needs to become the characteristic of our dealings with others, no matter who they may be. This will often necessitate our setting aside what we think of as fair to us in favor of what is of benefit to others. Just think about how fair it was for Jesus to bear our sin on the cross. He gave Himself freely for us in the justness of God for our sake. He laid down His life. Next is the undeniable truth that God is merciful. He has compassion for all. Psalms 116:5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. This is a nature of being which we often neglect to practice with regard to others. God has compassion on us even when we fail Him. He looks upon us with a heart that knows our weaknesses and our misgivings, and our faithlessness. And yet, He loves us to the uttermost. So are we to have compassion on those around us, even if they continually fail to meet our expectations. We should have that same heart of Jesus, which understands and stands by us and encourages us with His love and His mercy and His grace despite our deepest tragedies of collapse and disappointment. That needs to be our heart of compassion for all those in our lives. This then highlights the fact that God is long-suffering. He is patient with us as we walk on this earth. He works tirelessly to bring about His perfection of each of these characteristics of Himself into our lives. He does so with the complete omniscience that it will happen in His time. Therefore, He bears with our mistakes and self-indulgences as He tirelessly manifests Himself unto us day after day after day without any loss of temper or aggravation or capitulation. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. As well, and in complete line with His patience and long-suffering, God is wise. He is perfect in all His choices, including the fact of making us partakers of His very salvation in Jesus Christ. It is completely beyond our understanding of why He chose you and me. It was His wisdom alone that decreed our inclusion in Jesus Christ. And we must ever thank Him for that exercise of His wisdom on our behalf. Psalms 104:24. O Lord, how many are Thy works! In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of Thy possessions. As part and parcel of His wisdom and action, He freely gives His guidance and His counsel in all our decisions if we are wise enough to seek Him and to ask Him to show us His way. He becomes our wisdom to face every trial and assessment and evaluation that is required of us in this world. We can trust Him to show His wisdom. Likewise, we should be counted as trustworthy in seeking His way when we are approached by others in need of direction and counseling. We are to become living fountains of the life of Jesus Christ to all those who thirst for truth and for wisdom and for knowledge. The next characteristic of God that is evidenced in our lives is the fact that God is good. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Everything He does is for the good of His people. He has brought forth the only manner of salvation and freely offered it to all men in Jesus Christ. No man has an excuse in terms of denying that it is the goodness of God who has manifested Himself even to death on the cross for the eternal sake of all who would but call upon the name of His Son. And in our lives, we have the absolute and concrete encouragement of Romans 8:28 as the bedrock of the goodness of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In line with this reality, we should be finding that our lives can be more and more characterized as good. Not for our sakes, not for our uplifting, but for the world to see the very goodness of God in operation to His glory alone. We should be working for and treating others with the very goodness of God as He is ruling and overruling in our lives. In absolute line with His goodness, then, is the fact that God is wrathful. In other words, God hates sin. It is anathema to every reality of His nature. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We were under this wrath of God against sin until we found eternal life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Because of the righteous wrath of God against all that would serve to harm us and put us to death, He sent His Son to bear that wrath in all its fury. Christ faced the holy judgment for you and for me. He paid the price by His own life's blood. He bore all that wrath to set us free forever from the stain of sin and the curse of death. Therefore, in our lives, we should know that the wrath of God against sin is in place for our benefit. He does all that is necessary to release us from the horribleness of the sin that would otherwise only hurt or destroy us. He gives us everything necessary in Jesus Christ to see His wrath against sin as our salvation for today and for all of eternity. Once more, He gives us everything necessary in Jesus Christ to see that His wrath against sin is our salvation. Today, tomorrow, and forever. The Apostle Paul highlights the next attribute of God in his letter to Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even His word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. This is the fact that God is absolutely truthful. Every promise He makes, every encouragement He utters, every direction He gives, in everything, He is pure in His every word and deed. There is no darkness or lie in Him. In our lives, as we hold firmly onto the Word of God for our every edification and encouragement, so should our words ring forth with truth and with clarity. We should find that our lives become more and more identified with truth and with purity of spirit and reality. When we speak, it should be with the clarion call that since God is truthful, we must also be truthful. The final attribute that we will consider this morning is directly connected to the truthfulness of God. As He is truthful, so is He absolutely faithful. We can count on Him in every instance, in every situation, in every time of testing, struggle, and trouble. He is true to His promises. 2 Timothy 2:13, If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He will do everything that he says he will do, including our perfection in Jesus Christ. We can count on him no matter what may befall. He will accomplish what he has begun in our lives and in the lives of all those whom he has called unto himself in Jesus Christ. As well, this should have its measured effect in our lives in terms of our faithfulness. Faithfulness unto God and unto man. We should be faithful in all our commitments. Commitments made to God and commitments made to one another. We will conclude this consideration next time, Lord willing. It should be serving to bring to mind those areas of our lives in which the Holy Spirit is at work to manifest the fact that we are to take to heart the reality that we have come to the Lord God Almighty. This is no small or inconsequential thing. It is the imperative certainty that we can no longer be the same. To come into the presence of the Almighty God is to be changed for all of eternity, and that should be our heart's desire in order to please Him to the utmost. So be it. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Amen.